On the Fly with Jaymon G. On the Fly is on the air.
And we're back at the Vintage Red Barn. It's a Monday afternoon here. If you're live with us, if you're listening on the radio at AM 1210 or 93.1 FM or on the web at airventure.org, then it is Tuesday at about 12:30. We're joined now by some very special folks. We've got Tom Wathen from Flay Bob Chapter 1 in California. And he brought a beautiful DH-88 Comet. Originally was a 1934 aircraft. This is a replica. And with him, Robin Reed, who flew the Comet back here from California. And Tom, it's great to have you on the air with us today.
We're delighted to be here. Thank you very much for having us.
Tell us about your exciting airplane.
Well, thank you. It is an exciting airplane. The Comet is a very famous airplane. And one of the earliest of the golden age of air racing. And in 1934, this airplane was designed, built, and flown in only 9 months. In fact, there were five of them built originally, and we have replicated the one that won the race, which is GACSS. And some of the more interesting facts, right, might be number one, that this is the 75th anniversary of that airplane winning a race. It's called the Mac Robertson race in 1934 from Mildenhall, which is now a U.S. Air Force base just outside of London, all the way to Melbourne, Australia, by two fellows named Scott and Black. And these guys averaged about 200 miles an hour all the way to Melbourne, Australia. I think it was 71 and hours and some minutes. And just a remarkable thing. It won the race. And in fact, a second Comet, actually came in second, but it was outclassed by a DC-2, which was owned and operated by Lufthansa, and it was awarded the second place. Anyway, the airplane is just a remarkable ship. It was the first airplane to incorporate a variable pitch propeller, retractable landing gear, flaps, and it has such a small frontal area, it made it a very fast airplane. So these two guys, who obviously had enormous bladders, flew this airplane all the way, and they only stopped for fuel. Speaking of fuel, the airplane carried enough to give it an enormous range. Its first landing was in Baghdad, almost 2,600 miles away from London. So it's a remarkable airplane, and it still flies just fine. It's all original. The engines are original type engines, and it's doing very well. The guy who's had the opportunity to fly it more than anyone else, along with General Pat Halloran, is Robin Reed, and Robin's here with me to my left. I'll pass it to Robin.
Thank you. Thanks, Tom.
Robin, do you have a large bladder?
Definitely not as large as some of the early pilots, and I definitely, when I'm flying this airplane, I stay on my toes. So there's something else isn't quite as large as they had.
Well, look, General Halloran is here too, because he wants to make sure you don't say anything that isn't true about this airplane and flying it. Tell us about flying the Comet.
Well, flying a Comet is wonderful. The airplane was designed for long distances. She does that excellent. I usually flight plan about 700 miles. And about 190 miles per hour. Takeoffs and landings where I start paying attention. I have a Beech 18. I have lots of Beech 18 time. I would rather land it in a 20-knot direct crosswind than a normal landing in the Comet.
So it keeps you focused.
I'm definitely focused.
Good deal. We'll have General Halloran comment on that as well. Because now you guys are both flying the airplane now. Where's the farthest you've taken it? California Oshkosh, is that the longest leg since it's been restored or replicated?
Since it's been restored, it's been California to Oshkosh. As you know, the last about 5 years, it's been at most of the air shows on the West Coast, Watsonville, Merced, Half Moon Bay, and then we brought it here 2 years ago. And then 3 years ago, Dave Morris flew it here. So this is her fourth trip here to Oshkosh.
She looks good. She looks good sitting in front of the barn. So any weird characteristics of the Comet?
She definitely has some interesting idiosyncrasies. On takeoff, especially when I have full fuel, 205 gallons, there's a lot of mass inertia. So when the tail is coming up, there's a real tendency for a very dramatic swing, and have to be real careful that if I don't check the swing immediately, I can get myself in trouble. Again, I'm much more comfortable in a Twin Beach. I can kind of sit back and relax, where in the Comet I have to be right on my toes all the time. When you're coming in for landing, she's very hard to see out of. It's extremely blind. So you're doing a sweeping type approach like in a Corsair. Going into Flay Bob, it's a 50-foot wide runway. As I roll out at about 50 feet above the runway, I lose complete sight of the runway. I have no idea that I'm lined up other than people on the ground talking to me or a chase plane. And at about 5 feet before touchdown, I just start catching the sides of the runway. So as I start into the flare, just about time I feel I'm about to touch, if I see the sides of the runway both equal, I continue the touchdown. If not, full power, go around, set it up again.
How many times have you flown it now?
I have probably about 120 hours in the airplane now.
Oh, that's quite a bit of time for the airplane.
Yeah, been flying her a long time. And it's still, every time when I fly her, I just put myself in the right mindset that again, have to be right on my toes.
And I wanted to ask General Halloran a few questions as well about the airplane. General Pat Halloran, you're also flying the Comet. Tell us a little bit about your experiences.
Well, I started flying it when it was first built. And Robin said he has 120 hours. I have 100 hours, so I'm the hind guy. But it's an interesting airplane to fly. Now, we have rebuilt the engines, and Robin is now flying it with the totally rebuilt engines. The original engines were pretty sad, and we had a lot of problems with them all the time. Every time I'd land somewhere, we'd have to decouple the airplane and do something to it. So it was a maintenance-intense machine. We did fly, you mentioned, the cross countries from California to here. We did take it to Sun and Fun in Florida. I think I had it there at least twice, maybe three times. And one time we got to land over at Kermit Weeks grass field. That's the first time we've ever put it on grass. And what a pleasant surprise that was to roll it out on the grass. But I brought it up here a couple of times and then to Florida a couple of times and down to Ohio, to Dayton, to an air show, and some places like that. But as Robin says, it's a delightful cross-country airplane. Once you get it off the ground, it's a big, roomy, comfortable cockpit. It's just a sheer pleasure to fly, and I know Robin shares that impression.
How's it compared to the SR-71 and the U-2?
Well, it's just a little bit slower. If we painted it black instead of red, it'd go faster.
I think he's got you beat on that one, Robin. All right. Thank you, General. And Robin, thanks for talking to us. I wanted to ask you, Tom, before we wrap up this segment, what else is going on at Flay Bob in Chapter 1?
We're very proud of the staff and our students at Flay Bob, as well as the denizens of our wonderful little airport. It's a surprise to many people to find that we have a full-scale high school, and even started a middle school class this year right on the airport. So it's a fully accredited school supported by the state as a, what do we call those things, charter schools. And but it is under the control of the Wathan Foundation.
Well, thank you very much for filling us in and getting us up to speed on what's happening at Flay Bob Chapter 1 of the EAA.
Robin and the General and I are all delighted to be with you.
Well, thank you very much. On the fly with Jaymon G, we are down at the Vintage Red Barn, and we're going to take a break, and we'll be back in just a few minutes.